Hey, what's up, guys? So as we wrap up January 2021 and enter into February, this time is a pretty crucial time because often we set these New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year, and then around this time is when the vast majority of people kind of give up on those goals that they set for themselves if they haven't already. And if you're not doing so well, I want to invite you to try something that I do every year. And so I often ask people in my community, and I'm going to ask you this as well, what's your intention for how you want to be and how you want to feel this year? And I ask this because instead of setting like a specific goal, I usually set these intentions for myself of what the theme is for the year is going to be. And so 2021 for me is the year of alignment. So that comes with like a whole host of emotions and feelings and like a vision of what I'm looking forward to creating this year. And so if setting an intention is kind of like a new thing for you and you're not quite sure how to do it and how to really step into your intention for the year, I want to invite you to check out this free intention setting cheat sheet that the guest of today's podcast actually shared with me at the end of last year that really helped me set my intention for this year. Go to GlyGabriel.com/intention. That's GlyGabriel.com/intention. I've also listed it in the description of this podcast episode for your convenience. Hopefully you find a lot of value out of this. I know it was really helpful for me. And so definitely check it out, GlyGabriel.com/intention. And without further ado, let's get into the podcast. Welcome back to the New Norm Club podcast. I'm your host, Gly Gabriel, and I'm excited to be sharing with you yet another vulnerable, free-flowing conversation with a mover, a shaker who is redefining the norm in the world in some way. Today's guest is my dear friend, mentor, also kind of like a spiritual teacher of sorts, Daniel Mangena. He's a coach, a speaker, an author. He wears a bunch of different hats, but ultimately he's really about helping you live a purpose-driven, fulfilling, empowered life of abundance, of alignment, of flow, of just all these amazing things that, quite frankly, I don't think that we're really taught growing up. You know, it's interesting because last week I had a conversation with somebody that I know who literally was talking about how they're trying to stay positive and empowered in the face of their different circumstances, and it just feels like life is not always working for them. And I believe that what you're going to learn in this episode is going to really empower you to be bigger than your circumstances. Dan is amazing at just breaking down the steps to creating a life that feels good to you and doing it in a way that doesn't really take you too far out of your comfort zone, and it's just like it's actually pretty manageable. And I'll speak from my own personal experience where I, you know, when I first met him, I was at a point in life where things were really rocky, and he helped me really start to believe that, wait a minute, like there, that it can be easy, that it can feel good, that abundance and happiness and money and all of these things that we want, that they're possible, that I can have them. And so I'm really excited to share this conversation with you. I geeked out and nerded out during it, and I'm sure you'll feel the energy as you listen in. So without further ado, let's sit down, take a deep cleansing breath to let go of whatever you came into this space with that's not serving you right now. On three, we're going to take it together, okay? One, two, three. That felt good. All right, let's get into the show. All right, so Dan the man, Mangena, is in the house. What's up, Dan? How you doing, brother?
Blessed, glorious, wonderful, lovely, juicy, delicious.
Oh, I love all those adjectives. You've used them before.
I had to give you something fresh.
Okay.
That rolled off.
Yeah, it rolled off really well. So you obviously have an accent. Where is the accent from? Give us a little background.
From East London, innit?
East London.
Oh. Yeah, I like bangers and mash and that, fish and chips and that.
Oh yeah. Were you born in London?
Yeah, I was born in East London.
Okay, so you're born and raised. Okay, cool.
Yeah, born and raised. The first of my siblings, my two older siblings were born in Zimbabwe.
Okay, got it. Oh, that's dope. And then, so you have, how many siblings do you have altogether?
So my mom's got 5 kids. My dad has more. Where that number's a bit vague, but
yeah,
I've got my mum's kids, and I've got an older half sister that I've got a close relationship, an older half brother,
yeah,
and some other siblings that we're starting to build bridges with. But I say that I've got basically like the ones that I've got the consistent relationships I've built with over my life.
That's pretty cool. Me too. Mm-hmm. I was a middle child. Just like overall, I had an older brother. Older sister and then 2 younger brothers, and so it's kind of right in the middle now.
Oh, your sister had it.
Yeah.
Your sister had it.
Yeah. Yeah. It. Yeah. Yeah. But let me see. So who were you, who was Dan? Because you're a coach, what's your official title? Like transformational coach or something like that. Something like that. It doesn't matter.
I'm a guy that does some stuff.
Yeah, you do some stuff. What are some of the things, what do you do? What are the things that you do?
I mean, you know, for me, it's every day, it's how can I serve is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that's being on a podcast and breaking some stuff down, being on a podcast and inspiring or motivating people, mm-hmm. whether it's through the content we're producing for social media. I'm normally working on a book right now. I'm rewriting my 2 most recent books against the backdrop of what's been happening in 2020. So just adding some beef to that. I'm getting ready to do my TEDx talk in the new year, COVID-19 permitting. and that's what it is. You know, I'm speaking. Normally I'm doing more speaking. Mm-hmm. I'm doing more virtual now. Mm-hmm. So every day I'm just showing up and saying, how can I inspire, empower, and remove the blocks, mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical, to people having more abundant, joyful, purpose-driven lives, whatever that looks like, whether it's coaching somebody, doing my group coaching programs. I do like 3 group calls a week for those, producing more programs or whatever. That's what it's really about for me.
Yeah, no, that's amazing.
Titles be damned.
I'm right there with you. Who was Dan before Dan, the person of service that's constantly creating value for people and, you know, each and every day? Like, who were you before this?
I still was creating value each and every day, but through entrepreneurship.
Mm, mm. What type of business were you in?
So I had a consulting business.
Yeah.
And I mean, I built that baby up from scratch. And that was really problem solving around project funding, around model development and how to have impact. Mm-hmm. I've done it up to government level, a lot of smaller businesses that were facing challenges around not being able to access capital. And I did that, you know, on a global basis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Got you. Do you miss that life at all?
I actually reopened my consulting business this year.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I've been back at it. So that's
wow. So much is happening. So that's dope, man. How is mm-hmm. that going? Are you enjoying it? Is it?
Like- yeah. I mean, the really cool thing is that I didn't have a problem with it before. It's not like I hated my business before. It's just mm-hmm. I had the calling to come and do what I do now, mm-hmm. and I needed that clean break of not doing anything else except for this for a while, because there were stories that I was carrying about being able to do this and being able to be supported through what I do now. Mm. But having gone past a barrier of that big, you know, a very healthy 6-figure business, mm-hmm. I felt clean enough to be able to step back into the consulting in a very, very deliberate and impactful way.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you take us through, like, you know, when you transitioned from your consulting business to like doing, like getting into this world, mm-hmm. What was that jump like for you? What was that experience like? Because I know you went through like a kind of a crazy time.
Transition makes it sound a lot prettier than it was. Yeah. It's like there was no transition.
Yeah.
There was a ripped from the womb, thrown into the world, and there were wolves there kind of situation. Very much Jonah and the whale, because I'd heard the call to do it. I denied the call. Then I agreed the call with conditions. and tried to tell, you know, tell God, tell the universe, okay, we're going to do it, but on this timeline. Mm. I was like, oh, okay. No, that's not what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And it was an adventure. But at the end of the adventure, when my eyes were open to the fact that I was being shown that I can just trust and do. And then once I accepted that, I was given a clear vision of what my life would be like if I just trusted and did. And now I get to embody physically that which I had been given as an envisioning. You know, I live in Cabo. I get to do what I love every day and not have to do what I don't love. And are there still things that I'm aspiring to be able to do in my life? Yeah, but I have those aspirations with certainty of actually achieving, with certainty of getting to. So it's a very different scenario to, oh, wouldn't it be nice if? It's no, that might be a little ways off from where I am now, but I know I'm going to get there. So, you know, it was messy, very Jonah and the whale, you know. But the second I just sort of let go, against the backdrop of that clarity of what I was letting go to fall into,
mm-hmm.
everything came together.
You know, letting go, this keeps coming up in like conversations I've been having recently. Maybe I'm attracting it. maybe. how did you get to the point where you, like, what, how do you know if you've truly let go, and how did, what was your access, or what was the way that you, like, how did you get to a point where you were like able to let go?
I think at first I was trying not to let go. Mm. So it got ripped away. Mm. It's like, oh, you don't want to let go. If you don't let go, your hands are going to come off. Like, your hands are going to break the fudge off as you let go. And then it's like, now that you've sort of let go and seen that the water's really shallow and you can stand up, let's show you what's on the riverbank so you can get out of the river.
Mm.
So I had been given that clear vision, you know, but that vision only came when I started moving towards it by letting go. I was still in the river, but I'd let go of the branch. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'd said, okay, I get it. If I trust, everything's going to be okay, let me start that trusting. And once I took that step towards, the step towards me was, okay, now that you've made that step, this is what your life's going to look like if you just say yes.
Yeah.
And that was the 13th of February, 2018.
So what actually happened in your life at that point?
I was at a Dr. Joe Dispenza retreat, mm-hmm. Santa Fe, New Mexico. It just gone 6:20 in the morning. It was February, so it was freaking cold. I mean, like, I had leg warmers, 3 layers of clothes, hot pockets, hat, scarf, gloves, and I'm doing this walking meditation. And what was really interesting is that was a very challenging event for me. My ex at the time had come to that event because she was understandably confused as to why her man was running off to the States every few weeks to go away for a week at a time, not pick up his phone, and come back with a lot of new friends. And at the time, the community was mainly female. Yeah. He was saying, I love you so much, and blah, blah, blah. And of course, because of time zone differences, it was normally the evening that I'd be getting messages and be on the phone. And I was in my own world.
Mm-hmm.
So she had some questions and she wanted to come and see for herself. But what it meant was I didn't get the chance to just plug in during the event. Because after every session, because you spend like 5-6 hours a day in meditation, but after every session, normally you get a chance to decompress and you come out and you have your lunch break, you talk to the other people, you do... But every time I got out, she was waiting outside the door. Mm-hmm. So I never got the chance to completely disconnect because my old life, the life that I was, you know, it was just there all the time. So I get to the end of the event thinking, you know, I didn't really get the thing this time round. And it was after the event had finished, the Monday after, I finished on the Sunday, the Monday morning, the day we're getting set to leave and come back to the UK. And that's when it happened, after the event. So when I wasn't even expecting it, I was like, you know, I've done 3 of these bad boys this week. Nothing's really clicked. It's been nice, but it's not been, whoa, mm-hmm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And here I was the day after, and it's like, wasn't expecting it. It's like, bang, 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 bang. It's like, whoa, this is what it could be like. And I had this really beautiful transition into deep gratitude for troubling times in my life that I hadn't seen in a certain light before. And I had this new appreciation for all of my challenges and a new perspective on gratitude, and everything just started to just click, 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 click. And I came away as like, fudge, I don't want to do this crap anymore. I just want to serve. That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do. I just want to serve. Had to have that conversation with her. It's like, yeah, so I'm closing my business down. So we'll see how that's going to go. I took a big leap. I was on a high and I took a big leap, but it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's powerful. Were you not afraid that it was not going to work out? You just trusted that it was.
When you have that clearer vision of what is going to be, that you feel tangibly with all of your senses as if it already has been. Because if we start to look at time and how we access time and possibilities, it is. I literally got to embody my future.
Yeah.
It was, I was experiencing it as if it was an embodied memory, but it was the future. The future that happens if I just go for it.
That's powerful. That it's like, it really talks to the power of clarity. And when you have that clarity, it's just like, you know, why wouldn't I go for it?
How can I not go for it?
How can I not go for it? It's funny because I think about my journey, you know, from like leaving from like, you know, my banking job to doing the work that I'm doing now. And it's been like a really slow, like, it's sped up at points and then it slowed down at points. But like, you know, I still like feel like I don't know if I'll ever be at the end, you know? And I don't think we can ever be at, we know we can't. There's never an end. Yeah.
Yeah. The end is when you're dead.
Yeah.
No. And then the journey starts again in a different form. Regardless what your belief is. If you believe in pure science with nothing else, then your atoms go into the ground and the consciousness might dissolve, but you're still a part of nature. If you believe in religion, then there's the afterlife. If you believe in spirituality and some kind of reforming of your soul essence in a new, it never ends.
That's interesting. So do you think that whatever you believe is so if you believe in like the afterlife,
did we have this conversation me, you, Olga, and Iri? I think we had this when
we might have
Pagola, when we're speaking about infinite possibilities. I think we started to go down an aspect of this, but
I think so, yeah.
Let's just put something into context for the listeners, right? Every single variation of this moment, including the combination of people, places, and things that inhabit this moment, all exist within the quantum field. There's no variation of this moment that we could conceive that doesn't already exist as a possibility. So, if that's the case, how can I presume that my view, my perspective, my beliefs, thoughts, and ideas about an event are the ultimate truth? They're not, they're my truth. Not even my truth, they're my reality, because the truth is it's mine, yours, and neither, both at the same time. So when I come to reality, which is my viewpoint on the truth, my experience, my witnessing of the collection of snapshots from possibility, I'm going to see them through the lens of my experiences, my bias, my beliefs, my stories, my narratives. My reticular activating, if you want to get into the biology, my reticular activating system is going to filter out the pieces of that witnessing that even meet my worldview. I'm not even going to see all of it. That's going to inform my choices, the actions I take, and therefore what I embody is my physical experience, which then creates a loop, because that then reinforces the ideas, reinforces the stories, or disrupts them, creates an emotional response, which sets my vibrational set point, which then connects me with another sector of reality, or connects me to another sector of reality. If I change, I can access new possibilities. But that all comes down to the fact that all of this is being filtered by the stories I have in my mind. What I like to say, just to bring this to the grounding, what I like to say is when we meet in a common field of belief, we create what I call a quantum overlay, where our snapshots that we're consciously experiencing overlay, and we come to co-create this witnessing. In this instance, the variation of you and the variation of me that made the choice to have this moment are enjoying this series of moments that we call this podcast. The same as the listeners are stepping into our quantum overlay because they're vibrationally aligned and their belief system facilitates them stepping into the witnessing of this podcast through listening to it or what have you. They join our quantum overlay too. If they're to share it with someone else, then that continues and that continues. But there's an infinite number of quantum overlays happening all over this primordial gloop that we call reality. And we are only consciously experiencing them one snapshot.
Yeah, I always say to I always just believe that if there are 7.7 billion people on this earth, then there are 7.7 billion, you know, realities or different like worlds.
They are.
Yeah. Wow, that's some powerful stuff right there. And I wonder if it's going to go over people's heads. How can you be so sure that there's infinite possibilities in this quantum field? I mean, let's even remove the term quantum field because that might be like...
Yeah.
That there's infinite possibilities and that there's like a reality where you and I are talking and then maybe there's another reality where something else is completely happening and then another reality where, I don't know, like you, whatever you can imagine is, I guess, is possible. How can you be so sure of that?
Who said I was sure of it?
Ooh, I did. Because you speak with such conviction and most of your work, I feel like is built off of this sort of foundation. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It is, because that's what I believe. Mm. There are some things that I believe and some things that I know. Mm. There's some beliefs that I'm in my knowing about based on my experience or the level of certainty that I've allowed myself to have around it. Because at the end of the day, we're all experiencing what we know, what we've convinced ourselves that we're certain of. But ultimately, all of it's BS. All of it's BS because no one person is right. So what it is about for me is finding that variation of right, that variation of reality that works for what I've chosen to experience. Do I get it wrong sometimes? Yes, because I'm human. But that, for me, I've made the agreement with reality as part and parcel of the adventure. Sometimes we fudge up and it goes sideways. All right, plot twist, let's adjust and keep playing. Because at the end of the day, this thing we call life isn't all that serious. None of us are getting out of life anyway. But we consume ourselves. We're trying to get it right. I must find my purpose. I must be with the perfect person. I must do this. I must do that. Says who? How about we just live and enjoy the experience of it and seek to get the most from life that we can. But the way that we get the most from life is by giving the most to life.
I felt that shit. Oh, yeah. You know, I've been realizing that. It's like whatever I put my energy into, it starts to flourish. You know, when I'm in like an elevated state where I'm joyful and happy and I focus on, you know, whether that be like creating content or, you know, doing this podcast or exploring myself and my body or my relationships, it's just, that's where, and when I see things like start to unfold out of that. And so, it's like,
because you're creating your reality. What we move towards, either consciously or unconsciously, for example, you making the choice to come and do this podcast, you've made the conscious choice to move towards creating this content so you can serve and put something positive in the world, right? There may be additional intentions, but that's the overall intention. You've then connected to that emotionally, energetically. You've brought your energy to it. You brought your passion. You brought your drive. You brought your desire. You've carried your mind into it. Every single part of this experience had to be seen in your mind because it'd be before it could be seen in flesh. And then you followed through with action. That's creation, which isn't really creation because everything already exists. It's connecting to that which is created. So this process will sometimes include me choosing what agreements, what beliefs I'm going to have, or me taking actions based on those beliefs. I speak these words and I take these actions and move myself through time and space against a backdrop of these things that I believe. And I hold the intention and have the belief that those who are aligned with that will join me in this quantum overlay and continue to add to this creation too. And those who are not will not.
Yeah.
And that's okay. They're allowed their beliefs. They're allowed their realities because they're right too.
Yeah, they are right. I remember I was in this program and they said like, you're winning the game. You're all winning your game in life. And then there's like, what do you mean? Like I'm like broke or I don't have the love of my life. Or it's like, yeah, like, well, that's, you wanted that on some level, you wanted that. So I say the same thing.
Nobody's ever failed because the unconscious mind is a freaking terminator that never fails to get to its objective. It always wins. The mind always wins. So everything that we're experiencing is a perfect reflection of that which we've chosen at some level, but was accepted and then enacted by the unconscious mind.
Even it's tough because it's like you tell someone like, hey, you're in not the best situation and you wanted that. Like,
yeah, but
unconsciously, the thing is,
I think what I want to just drive home, because I remember even when I spoke with the panel, the summit series that you guys were doing, and there was a lady who's like, well, what about people that chose this and people that chose that? So let's make sure that we're talking about ourselves. Anytime you're trying to talk about someone else's situation, you're actually talking about your witnessing of something, which isn't the same thing. So if we're talking about ourselves,
that's right. Yeah,
that just cuts a lot of the flaring up and the kicking up. What about the children of Africa? You're not a child in Africa. Mm-hmm. You're in New York. You're in LA. You're wherever. You're in Toronto. Mm-hmm. So deal with your situation. Mm-hmm. Your situation, desire, and unconscious wanting are two different things.
Yeah,
I want to make sure that people understand that someone who's been sexually molested, for example, or being robbed, or they lost a family member. I'm not saying you desired that. So let's just take that one off the table.
Yeah.
The desire is a conscious manifestation of what the heart's speaking, right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about the independent function of the unconscious mind that operates purely on the basis of the programs that it's been imprinted with. That is what I'm saying is always going to win. And that isn't necessarily even what we want. But if I've spent the time of my unconscious mind being built and programmed in an environment that supports the idea of lack being the norm, then that is the program that my unconscious mind will perfectly execute until such time as I bring in the law of unconscious momentum, subconscious momentum, and disrupt that pattern. It will continue to be my reality. I can go and get a job, the best job on Wall Street, but I will still experience lack, whether it's because I take on too much debt, I have a high cost of living, because income doesn't mean that I'm rich. Do you get where I'm coming from? There are millionaires right now that are in financial stress. People having seven figure a year income. And there are people that are just on minimum wage and are abundant.
That's potent because, and it speaks to this, you know, this idea of, you have to like reframe what, or like where my brain goes is like reframing success and what that looks like, because, you know, we, a lot of times we think it's like being the millionaire, having the, you know, the trophy husband or wife, you know, having the house and car, that's when like I'll be happy and abundant and all of these confident and all these things that we desire. But, you know, I can say in my experience, I've been to like some of the poorest countries in the world, you know, in my travels and such. And I've seen people who are happier than, you know, the people that, you know, on Wall Street that I was working with. And so I think that's what always like kind of fuck with my head, because I was just like, you know, like this something, I was taught something that, and I was indoctrinated into something that isn't quite right.
Sweet story.
Yeah. Story. Yeah.
I mean,
but then having said that, I want to make and I'm going to make tons of money and all of that. Mm-hmm. Like I want to have that, but like, is that's not like the metric for like success.
And this is the thing where that the beauty is it not being the metric.
Yeah.
For me, money's energy. I mean, some people, they're like, oh, you talk all this conscious stuff, but then your focus is teaching people how to get rich. Yeah. Not for them to make money their God, but to make money their tool. A tool that actually leads to them creating a more abundant, joyful, purpose-driven life. Money is just an easy way to have more choice. Because in terms of the collective agreements of how our world works, the ideas that most people have signed up to, money is just something that, fair enough, I can't buy the love of my life, but I can certainly buy the experiences that allow me to access being around the kind of people that I want to be around so that I'm in a position to connect with someone who may be the love of my life. Mm-hmm. Having financial abundance means that I don't have the stress that might keep me out being in a place where I can even connect whole and completely to someone who might be the love of my life. Mm-hmm. Money can't buy health, but it can certainly open up the choices of me being able to live a life that's more aligned with what health is to me. You know, it can't buy me happiness, but it can certainly allow me to make more choices that are conducive with what I find to be a happy life.
Yeah.
So money is just a thing that cuts the excuse that I can't do stuff. Oh, I would be a missionary, but you know, I've got bills to pay, or my mom's got hospital bills. Get your money right then. I would be a dancer, or I would have been a dancer, but I had to let that dream go because, you know, I had to prepare, you know, for family. Like right now, I'm fortunate. I've got a kid coming anytime now, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to be Uncle Gly real soon.
Yeah.
My kid is going to be able to do whatever the fudge he wants to do. If he wants to spend his life on a street corner speaking the good news of Jesus Christ, he can do that. Because the landscape is going to be set for him to not only have abundance to back that, but to have a relationship to abundance that means that his life choices aren't going to be made from a place of lack about how much money he doesn't have. Do you get where I'm coming from? I'm not talking about a silver spoon, because for me, the capacity to create wealth on command is more powerful than money being in the bank.
Amen. Yeah.
Rich isn't how much money you've got in the bank. It's your ability to generate the resources to make the choices that you consciously have chosen to make.
Say that again. Rich isn't that you have money in the bank. It's the ability to
access or create the resources to affect the choices that you want to make. Mm. So for example, I don't have a private jet, mm-hmm. but I've manifested a life whereby I've got a pilot on call that I can get for like $3,000 an hour. I can be on a private jet. I don't have to go and I don't need millions in the bank to go and buy my Learjet or whatever. I've got that. I've got another luxury membership club that I've got mm-hmm. that I can go on my phone now, book on a concierge. I need a jet to take me from here to there. Now, for me, the fact that I've got the resources to be able to do that is more important than me having the showboating, oh yes, you know, just, you know, I've got the jet parked at the airport, you know, it's in the hangar. No, if I want to do that, I can go and do it. That for me is riches. Hmm. I had a podcast I was on earlier and I was saying, yeah, one of the most beautiful things for me is that my life that I've created means that if someone calls me right now, from pretty much anywhere in the world, COVID aside, and says, hey, we've got a room of 20 people that really need to hear about Beyond Intention, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't have to bark with them and say, how much are you going to pay me? What my expense is going to be. If my heart feels called to go and serve those people, I can go on a plane and do it, not think about how much money it's going to cost or how much I'm going to make. Mm. That for me is true freedom. Mm. But I have that freedom because I have abundance.
Mm. What is abundance? What does that mean to you?
It's an overflow. My needs are met with overflow. Overflow that allows me to serve and give to others from that overflow.
Mm. Mm. Beautiful. I want to take a slight pivot. You have a bunch of different frameworks and models and paradigms. You mentioned one of them, Beyond Intention. Mm-hmm. You know, I have your book even, and I was digging into that a little bit before. I remember reading this. I like studied this thing last year. Hardcore.
We're rewriting that one now.
We're rewriting that one for
2020. So there's going to be some really good stuff that we're adding to that now.
I'm looking forward to it. And so you have like the flow funnel, the Beyond Intention paradigm, micro shifting, the money, like you have all of these different things. Can you maybe give us like a brief overview of like some of the big frameworks that you teach and use in the things that you teach your coaching clients, et cetera.
Ultimately, it's going to come down to a clear intention.
Yeah.
And choosing to be in alignment with that intention and what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, and what I'm doing. Ultimately, everything's going to come down to that. Beyond Intention is a model that supports me making the choice to be in that alignment. Mm-hmm. Flow funnel breaks down what that alignment is and what the pieces of that puzzle are and how we're pulled out of alignment. Mm-hmm. Shifting is a model that allows me to move through those choices in baby steps without resistance. Mm-hmm. And the money game is how to apply that model to spontaneously manifest money into my life.
Okay. I might have to listen to the recording again and just see how you pieced it all together. but yeah, I always think about like, how does this all fit? You have like all of these different frameworks. What's your process for like developing them?
Pain, life and pain.
There we go.
It's like anyone who comes to my work now is basically getting the benefits of 20 years of a combination of beautiful scenes and glorious fuck ups.
Yeah.
That's what they're getting.
Yeah.
Right. You're getting to hold the trophy on the back of my battle scars. That's what you're getting to do.
This is dope. I want to try something with you. Let's see if we can do this. So you mentioned the Beyond Intention paradigm, flow funnel, micro shifting, money game. Mm-hmm. Maybe give us like the stories behind each of those frameworks and how they came to be.
Cool. Let's go backwards then. Money game was interesting. So I did a surrender experiment, literally played out the surrender experiment that Michael Singer talks about in his book, The Surrender Experiment. That was 2018, the summer. So this is the first summer after I had my big vision.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because I was in the flow of life. It's like, fuck, who knows where this baby's going to go? We're going to see. But I'd had that visceral experience that I can trust. So I'm on this adventure. And I found it was really interesting. I'd had the conversation with my friend Barry, where he's like, you know, maybe you should open up to abundance because being opened up to abundance is going to allow you to take this message more places and to more people. And I was like, okay, well, let's take this Beyond Intention stuff and see, is it real? Okay, if it's real, then it should be repeatable. It should be repeatable on command. Otherwise, it's bullshit. Hmm. You know, I just was getting ready to, in fact, I'd put out Stepping Beyond Intention and I took it back off the shelves because it wasn't ready. Like it was out for a day and then I took it back. So that was 2018, August. So we're in September now and I was just sitting with it. I was like, I need some evidence to give to people that this stuff is real. So I need to embody that evidence. I need to bring something in. So I set intention that I'm going to manifest some money. So here I was. In fact, do you know what? That wasn't even 20. That even might have been 2017. The year doesn't matter. Anyway, I looked at writing an intention. And as I wrote the intention down, I said, what's going to make this real? The flow funnel hadn't really come to place yet. It was there. I was doing it, but it wasn't with that clarity that you see now with the diagrams and everything. I said, what's going to make this real? So I knew the pieces, mind, body, and soul. So I looked at mind. So what's going to stop my mind? What's in my mind is going to stop this happening? Well, if I don't believe it's possible, it's not going to happen. So I need to do something about certain things. I've been a student of Tony Robbins for a few years. Certainty is going to lead to results. So I need to create certainty. micro shifting allows me to go into certainty. So, okay, so I need to start small and flex that muscle until it gets bigger. So the first aspect of the money game, we start small. $1, $2, $3, $4, $5. Not big. You don't go to manifest millions. I'm going to just prove to myself that it's real. Energy. Well, gratitude is the ultimate state of receivership. So another piece of the money game. When we write the intention, we get into a place of gratitude, writing a gratitude list. And then certainty, we let it go. And then there's action. Well, I wanted it to be spontaneous. So the only action is the internal action of moving towards it. So that the game itself is the action, not the action to receive the money. So I set the intention. I did the first money game for $50 and I had 193 euros sharp the next day. Look, okay. This shit works.
193 euros. Like, where did it come from?
So like I got a bonus on some cryptocurrency that I didn't even remember that I had, of 193 mm-hmm. euros showed up the next day.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, cool. So that works. Let me see if I can push this a little bit. So I think I'm up for like 60 and then like a couple hundred showed up again. And I kept playing this and kept playing this and kept pushing the edge on it until I got to the point where I manifested in one go $10,000. Mm-hmm. And it took 3 days from setting the intention. It showed up.
From the beginning of the game?
No, 3 days from setting the intention.
Oh, yeah.
So this was over the course of about 6 weeks. This was over the course of about 6 weeks of playing with it and testing it and seeing what was working. And when something took longer, what was my emotional state? And what was my thinking? And just working it out. So I kept playing it myself until January of 2000. And what year is it now?
It's 2020.
Yeah.
It's almost the end of the 2020.
Yeah. So it's like, do you know, that was 2018. It was January 2019. I did a mastermind in New York. Very powerful mastermind. My Ideal Life Blueprint program that people can buy now is the recording of that mastermind. People paid like a grand to come and hang out with me for the day. And that was the first time I taught people the money game. But by then, I'd taken the experience I'd had of working through those steps. I put it into three different phases and I broke it down a bit more. And then I'd launched Micro to Millions that month as well, my program. And I gave it to the guys there and they were having some crazy results, like crazy results. And that's where the money game came from. And then I went ahead and put the book out this year after I'd done a couple of money game challenges where we, you know, the record was 75,000 Australian dollars manifested in 2 days against the backdrop of setting out only to manifest $10. So that was the money game. So you got the money game. The flow funnel evolved with more clarity over me getting my Micro to Millions program out there and sharing more of my work around something specific with more of a mass audience. Obviously, we've got millionaires in the program. We've got people at six figures, all from zero. And it's from applying the model of the flow funnel of, I have the intention. I have micro shifted intention. So I'm moving through baby steps. I have the intention. We work on the emotional state. We do energy clearing, we do focused visualization and meditation, all around getting the energy right. We do a lot of mindset work around NLP, developing certainty, unconscious mind development, focused visualization and focused thought. And then action, we teach strategies that are aligned with where someone's at. So your personality profile is what works for you. If you've got a stutter, we're not going to have you out there connecting people, the spoken word. If you can't write for shit, we're not going to have you out there writing blogs. You know, it's looking at where your strengths are, where your passions are, where you're aligned, and then giving you the ability to build your own strategy for wealth and abundance in micro shifts against that backdrop. So that's where the flow funnel really came in. And then I started to share that with the wider audience when I released Stepping Beyond Intention last year, and I actually broke down the flow funnel for the first time. And now, you know, I deal with that a lot more. I speak of that a lot more.
Okay. So money game, flow funnel, beyond intention, micro shifting is included in like the flow funnel, which micro shifting is, like you said, it's just like the little baby steps towards
steps with celebration, baby steps with focused intent, baby steps with minimum deliverable. So you bypass resistance. It's like baby steps on steroids.
Yeah. So, you know, as you were talking, I was just, I found myself thinking, like, if you're playing this money game and you set this intention to like manifest $1 or $10 or whatever, how do you avoid becoming attached to the goal of manifesting the money? Because it's almost like it can create like this scarcity or like this lack by wanting.
Which is one of the reasons why we start so small. And that's one of the things that we're looking to identify. A lot of this process, Maxwell Maltz in his book, Psycho-Cybernetics, which I first read like 18 years ago, great book. One of the most powerful ideas, I love what Mark Cuban says, like a book, you just want to get one idea from it. If you just get one idea from it, like it can change your life. Mm-hmm. And one big idea I got from Psycho-Cybernetics is that of the fact that a guiding missile doesn't go point to point. It goes and it always veers off course. And the guidance system just brings it back on course. And I think as humans, sometimes we forget we're human, right? We're going to go off course. We're going to have our shortfalls. We're going to have our down days, our off days. And so a big part of the process is just understanding, where am I out of alignment in the flow funnel? Right? Where am I being pulled off of my energy? Is it a person, place, or thing? Is it a fear or doubt? And then I can focus my energy on getting rid of that, on dealing with that, on growing through that, on healing that. And if I heal all of that, then the path is clear. And then everything lines up. And then I get it, because everything we're experiencing is because everything lined up for us to experience it. Mm-hmm. Simple. It doesn't really get complicated until we make it complicated. Is what I'm aligned with as a choice, a feeling, a thought, an action will show up without fail. So when we're looking at the money game, what we did was we said, we start with something small, something that just ridiculous. Like that a dollar, okay, my life's not going to change if I don't get this dollar, a dollar or more. By the time I get to the point where the numbers are bigger, I will have built up a habit, a momentum, and a pattern of success. So the unconscious thought pattern to go to scarcity doesn't have the same unconscious capacity to have control over me, because I have an awareness of it being there, because we talk about that in the game, number one. And number two, the mind goes on the back of evidence. And the evidence is, if I set an intention for something, it shows up. So the space mentally even to have that thought process of lack doesn't have the same strength if it's even there at all. Mm-hmm. And that's why the game is set in the way it is. That's why my Micro to Millions program is set the way it is. And it's really funny, because when people inevitably like backed out and ran away earlier on in the process, one of the excuses people like to use is, I don't need to learn how to manifest $100. I need to pay my bills. It's like, yeah, bro, but get some momentum going, start with this $100 and build from there. And the people that followed that are the ones that are at six figures, that are at seven figures, they've got the financial freedom, they've bought their new house, they're living a different life, because they understood what I was trying to show them, which is that when you start with that baby step and build that momentum, by the time you get to the point in your experience where you're going to have that edge, you don't have the same evidence to back the old story. Mm-hmm. So you have the opportunity to make a choice to stick with the old story or with the new one of abundance.
You know, I played the money game and I was able to manifest a few hundred dollars actually. And it was kind of strange. I was like, oh shit. Like, it's like random companies will like, I think one company like sent me like $300 for like a lawsuit or something.
The lawsuit is great. We've had people have made tens of thousands on the lawsuits.
One. I was like, I didn't know that I guess I did buy that one thing from you, but like, okay, cool. I'll take your money. So it's really cool when you start to like attract these like this money in, and you're just like, oh shit, like I can, like money does come to me with like
and, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's cool. And but I'm not gonna lie, sometimes I feel like, or like specifically with this month, your money game, I like forgot about it, you know. Yep. and
that's what happens.
But no, I'm saying like, I don't think I've manifested like since then, like mm-hmm. randomly, like money, like in that a quantity, like I'll manifest like cool opportunities. Someone like hit me up and be like, hey, like, you know, like TikTok reached out and it was, they wanted me to be a part of their creative program and they were going to pay me to create content on their platform, which mm-hmm. I wanted to do. And I was like, oh, cool. You're going to pay me to do something I would have done for free anyways. Cool. Like, I'll take mm-hmm. the money. And so like, mm-hmm. it wasn't like just money straight to the pocket or anything like, mm-hmm. you know, before, but it was kind of like in between. Mm-hmm. And so like, I'm grateful for that. But then I'm just like if we're going with the intention of this money game, mm-hmm. how does one actually keep it alive and make it, I mean, because like, I think it would be cool to be able to be like, yeah, like just $10,000 came into the bank without like, you know, any work.
Go through the steps.
But I did.
Did you finish? Did you go through all 15 steps?
So you push the limit, mm-hmm. you know, and then you set the intention, you celebrate, you write it down, mm-hmm. And then you like throw it away or just like forget the paper. Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of wait for the abundance mm-hmm. to arrive, right?
So what happens is often people forget that we're always getting what we believe. Mm-hmm. So if someone has a limit on what they believe they can have without doing anything, mm-hmm, then mm-hmm. things will come in as opportunities, or they'll mm-hmm. come in as coupons, or they'll come in as discounts, or they'll come mm-hmm. in as gifts. Mm-hmm. And so we actually, I say in the book what to do with those gifts in order to reset the energy to connect it back to just being money. Mm-hmm. So if you receive a coupon, you celebrate it as if it was money. You, in your mind's eye, reframe the receivership as if it was money to plug that evidence in, stick with the step.
Gotcha.
If it comes as an opportunity, mm-hmm. celebrate it, mm-hmm. celebrate the money that comes from it, mm-hmm. but keep to the same opportunity. But we're always bringing it back. We have this conscious relationship. We're always bringing it back to, this is my manifestation. I created this. I created this. I created this. And then it all the dust that was meaning that the instruction for it to come just as money, just clean, was getting a bit fudged, gets brushed away. And then it starts to come in again.
I see what you're saying. So it's basically, it's like not forgetting the game, essentially, right? It's like
staying with it.
Yeah, staying with it, because I think I forgot it. But then like I was manifesting things. It wasn't quite the intention, but like I didn't connect it back to
but
the
ultimately,
game. Yeah.
Ultimately, the money game isn't even really about money. It's about being able to do that.
Yeah.
It's about being able to go out and create your life because you've chosen. Mm-hmm. I just use money as a measuring stick because I can say I got $10 or I didn't get $10. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. black and white. That's quantifiable. I don't, mm-hmm. there's no middle ground on that.
Yeah.
It came or it didn't. If it didn't come, then there's a hiccup in my capacity to call in something.
Yeah.
I can then identify where that hiccup is, work out, and then I can take that newfound power from me cleaning my shit up mm-hmm. and direct it to something else.
Yeah. You know, and I also just want to make the distinction for people because I don't think you're saying, hey, just do the money game and just expect that to be the way you make your income or anything. It's like,
no,
keep going through your life. Yeah.
It supports it.
Yeah.
It supports it. And like I said, in the book, I teach how to use this, how to get clients for your business.
Yeah.
I teach how to go and get a promotion at work, mm-hmm. right? When you understand the mechanics, you can apply it to creating anything. Mm. I don't sit on my butt all day. I work.
Yeah.
But I love what I do, but I work. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm out there teaching my programs, out there connecting with people, networking, doing what I'm doing because I want to do it, supported by the fact that I'm setting the intention something's going to show up, and it does because I have a level of mastery mm-hmm. that I continue to step into even deeper mm-hmm. that I attained through this process.
I love that. And that's literally, I've been finding myself as recently, there were times where I would find myself getting you know, I'm doing this work. I'm really learning more about like law of attraction, tantra, like energy, mm-hmm. all of these things. And I would find myself like feeling like, oh, I have to work or I have to like try to make more money. And I was like, wait a minute. No, like I don't have to do anything. Like I choose to, I want to. And like all of that abundance is like, is coming anyways. And so, mm-hmm. it's kind of cool because it like frees you up to actually like focus, like be present and to like do the things that actually you truly enjoy, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I know we're kind of running low on time. Do you need to hop now or do you have
I got like a 10, 15 and then.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. So let me see where I want to take this. We talked about money game. We talked about the different models that you have. What are you learning right now?
What am I learning?
Yeah. What are you learning? And it could be like related to this, the things we're talking about, or it could be completely different. What are you like?
What I'm really working on right now, mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot of astral based work. Mm-hmm. A lot of that right now.
Yeah.
And just different levels of consciousness mm-hmm. without the use of tools. So not with plant medicine or with microdosing or anything, just pure raw drop in connection access and just playing with how that shows up in changes. Mm-hmm. So that's been really cool.
Yeah, nice.
I've also been doing a lot of work with not trying to control outcomes based on the fact that I'm going to be a dad, and I want to be, I don't want to have excess importance around getting it right. So letting other people have their own journeys has been a big part of what I'm doing right now.
That's amazing. Yeah, you're gonna be a father. Yeah, what's going on in your world around that? Like, how do you feel? Like, what are you thinking?
Do you know what's been really beautiful?
What?
Is coming to a place for someone that's like so intentional, creating a much wider intention that allows me to accept that I'm never going to be ready. I'm ready for how ready I can never be for what's going to happen, because there is this completely unknown variable of a brand new baby soul that's going to have its own mission, its own purpose, its own dream, its own personality that I just get to create a loving container for as a guardian to share my experiences with that new soul and give it the space to make the choice of what it wants to take and what it wants to drop.
Wow. That's dope. Because I think sometimes maybe, I guess, parents, and I'm not a parent, so I can't really talk about it, but it seems like they're kind of projecting onto you what they think they, I mean, to a certain extent you have to, right? Like you like.
There's responsibilities, right?
Yeah.
But I think what we lose sight of, and I just got interviewed, didn't just, but I got, there was an interview with me that got put out on the Today Show blog yesterday. Wait, 2 days ago, Monday. Because I spoke about how to manifest a good child. And what I was saying is you can't really manifest a good child. Child's just going to be a reflection of the what you share with it as a framework within which it's going to bring its own experience. So rather than trying to say, oh, I want my child to be this, I want my child to be that, be the living embodiment, because that's ultimately what your kid's going to learn from. It's going to take from the blueprint of your energy.
Yeah.
Right. And then run on the blueprint of the thoughts that you inspire it to have. And then it's going to go off and mix it up and come up with a new cocktail.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the nature.
And you can't control that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're all doing, you know, like, you know, I learned from you. I learned from, you know, all these other teachers, like life from life. And then I like pick and choose the things that really resonate. And then I create like my own sort of blueprint in reality. Yeah. That's beautiful. What are you most excited about, you know, for, you know, like becoming a father, like, you know, in like this next phase of your life?
Legacy, like even down to like the Mangena Foundation that my siblings and I have been working and building up for the last couple of years. That's going to be doing much bigger things, more active next year. It's like now, it's like, whoa. And the name goes on based on my contribution directly now. Because it's different with the nephews and nieces. Right now, it's like, okay, like my line's kicking off now. Like, what's going to happen with that? Is he going to want to be a part of it? Is he going to want to be an artist? Is he going to be gay? Is he going to be straight? Like, is he going to be a liberal? Is he going to be a Republican? Is he going to be an anarchist? Who knows?
Who knows? Infinite possibilities.
That's amazing. Just being okay with that.
Yeah. Just being okay with it. And I'm curious, like, because you have your own set of experiences and things. And one of the things that I think about sometimes is just, how much do we need to unpack, you know, our past or the things that, like, you know, our challenges, our insecurities, the things that, like, our fears versus, because you're, that's going to inevitably impact your kid, I imagine. And, and like the life that you're creating, with in your family, like, where do you, how do you find a balance between doing that type of work, versus forward thinking and thinking about like what you're committed to, how you're committed to being and like what you're manifesting?
Well, for me, reality unfolds as a result of who we are.
Yeah.
And who we are is what we're thinking, what we're doing, what we're being, right? Feeling. If something from the past is impeding my ability to consciously direct what I'm feeling, thinking, and doing, then it's incumbent upon me to do something about it. Or accept that I'm going to be led as a slave to that experience mm-hmm. and let it go.
Mm.
But then how I engage with it is going to affect what happens with that. If I engage with it as a victim, mm-hmm. bathing in it, I must understand it and blah, 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 versus me coming to it from a place of power and rewriting that narrative in my life or doing the healing from that. Doing it because I want to expand, not because if I don't do this, this is going to happen. Because then I'm coming from a place of fear, and seed sown in fear, not going to exactly give us fruits of abundance, right? Mm-hmm. Fear begets fear. So I've done a lot of deep work this year. A lot of deep work. Came up with trauma I didn't even know was there. But I came to it not from a place of fear, because I wanted to step into a new level of mastery.
Yeah.
But I was forward thinking. Mm-hmm. In forward thinking, I was clearing myself of all that stood between me and that forward thinking. So it's a balance between the two.
Mm.
You know, I think oftentimes it's like the whole thing of therapy, talking something in. I'm talking about it. Then I'm just polluting my environment emotionally and mentally with that old thing. That's not creating space for me to move somewhere forward. But I do need to let it go to be free of it, to move forward. So it's a balance between the two. Am I speaking it out to find counsel to move beyond it? Am I speaking it out to wallow in it even longer and make that who I'm going to be? That makes sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
So it's a balance between the two. Holding it in isn't serving anyone. That's the bypass. Oh, you know, I don't need to deal with this trauma. You know, I'm just going to love and light it.
Uh-huh.
They hurt you. They raped you. They robbed you. They killed your pet. Like, you need to go through the process of healing, because that which is not dealt with will continue to manifest in your life in one shape or another. So going in and addressing it from an expansive place of moving forward, not from fear, but from a place of love, self-love first, is where the magic is, I think.
And just really quickly, like, how do you know if you've truly healed from those past experiences, or you've moved past those things?
Your environment doesn't lie, whether it's your internal environment and how you feel in relationship to it, mm-hmm. or your external environment, what you're manifesting, which is going to be a reflection of what's going on inside of you. So if you have to ask if you're healed, you're probably not.
Yeah, there we go. That's beautiful. Okay, so before I ask you the last question, I just want to, I like to end these conversations by just acknowledging and just appreciating the guests that I have on. And Dan, you're just like one of my dearest friends. And
love you too, bro.
Yeah, man. You know, and you've just really been someone who I look up to. Your conviction and your beliefs and your the way that you live your life and who you are. You're just so grounded in yourself. And there's this like strength and this courage that I'm just like, man, like I aspire to be like that. And I know you bring that to your work and like in the passion and the love that you share with everybody that you touch. And so thank you for being who you are, man. And then the last question I have for you is, what do you believe the new norm should be? And you can take that wherever you desire.
So I'm a certified instructor for a modality called reality transurfing. Relatively new qualification that I got a little while ago. And there's something that Vadim Zeeland, the creator of reality transurfing, calls the golden rule of transurfing, which is to create the reality you want and leave other people to create the reality that they want, and don't judge them for it. Just let them be. So I think the new norm should be, especially in this thing of telling people who they should vote for and what they should believe and what's acceptable and what's not, whether they should wear a mask or not, and whether they should believe something's real or not. Have your beliefs. Create your own quantum overlay with people who share your belief and enjoy. And leave other people to do what they want to do. And quit wasting your energy trying to convince people to believe in your story, because the likelihood that that's going to work is really low.
Wow. Daniel Mangena, thank you, brother.
Thank you for having me, man. Really appreciate it.
No doubt. Hey there. I hope you really enjoyed today's podcast episode. As you know, at New Norm Club, we really believe in the Ubuntu philosophy, which basically means I am because we are. You know, rising tide raises all ships. And so this
podcast is not just a podcast, it's also a community. So feel free to go to the Facebook group and join and connect with other like-minded people, share what your biggest takeaways were from this episode. Also, do that in your personal social media so that we can get more people into this family so that we can start to redefine the world together and support each other and empower each other and inspire each other to be our best selves. And don't forget to tag at New Norm Club and at Gly Vollner, that's me, GlyVollner, on any of your social platforms. And also follow on your preferred podcasting platform, Spotify, etc. You know the drill. So have an amazing rest of your day and see you on the next episode.